Lisa Vett. And Lisa, good afternoon to you. Lovely to have you with us on the program. We know that the gender-based violence summit was something unplanned, but something important nonetheless, important enough to put onto the national agenda. What were some of the major outcomes of that?
And I think it was a commitment to set up a structure, a coordinating council that could look at how gender-based violence could be driven across government and in civil society in a coordinated manner. And I think it was also some commitment, which is most important, was also a commitment to trying to pull together a plan to look at how problems could be tackled in a more systematic and accountable fashion. I think those were important, but in many ways, that's really not enough. I think there are much more serious problems in government that plans are not going to solve. For example, the question of the budget. We are now in a situation where government is having to cut budgets because of the state of the economy. We've already heard organisations in the provinces that they've been warned that their services in terms of post-grad care and domestic violence shelters are not necessarily going to be supported in the upcoming financial year. So, you know, all these plans and promises will look great on paper, but unless there is serious financial commitment to this, that's what they are, paper promises.
We're living in a country where femicide is on the rise, Lisa. Do you feel that government has put together a strategy to work with a number of other portfolios that are integral to actually reducing the amount of femicide in the country?
You know, as a broader comment, I think the quality of our statistics around violence and femicide is really not of a quality that it needs to be if we're going to take effective and meaningful action against the problem. So you can see, for example, that women's murder rates went up last year. Why? What happened last year that hasn't happened in previous years to suddenly pick up the same spike? The statistics cannot tell you. They cannot tell you if the increase is due to boyfriends and husbands killing their female partners, an increase in rape murders, an increase in women being shot during robberies, hijackings, and housebreakings. So, you know, it's almost impossible to develop a strategy if you don't have the basic detailed information about what is really going on, what is driving this, and therefore where is it that we need to intervene most effectively. Too much of our conversation around statistics turn into these very defensive battles, I think, between the police and other political parties around whether or not they're doing a good job, rather than asking the questions about why is this happening and what is it that we need to do in order to effectively combat this beyond just policing responses.
Yes. You know, Lisa, we witnessed some really difficult and harsh testimony on the stand from an individual like Cheryl Zondi just a few months ago. And I think a lot of women would have looked at that adversarial process and said, I am not going to report this crime against me, because look at what happens to women who report these crimes and have to go and testify in court. This notion that has been raised in the past by experts like yourself about an inquisitorial versus an adversarial process for gender-based violence court cases, why can it not be approached during this this particular government's tenure?
Well, you know, this is my great regret, is that this government did have the opportunity between 2004-2007, when they were reforming the Sexual Offences Act. The idea of an inquisitorial system was put forward. It was rejected. I think Cheryl Zondi's testimony is a real illustration of the poisonous legacy of not having taken into account those recommendations. But, you know, so if we really have to go back into a law reform process, which would be time-consuming. But I think it needs to happen. It's a medium-term goal, but what needs to be focused on right now is the immediate priority, and this is going back to budget. Is the fact that the Department of Justice's budget is being cut going into the new year. We've seen the NPA saying it's going to be short of at least 1,000 posts for prosecutors. We have to ask, what is that going to mean for the rollout of specialised sexual offences courts if you're not going to have prosecutors to fill those positions? And what's going to happen to the quality of prosecution where we don't have specialised courts? We've just got to rely on ordinary prosecutors. So I think, again, we have to look at the immediate short-term questions of budget cuts and what they're going to do to things like specialised services for women who go to court.
Lisa, are sentences deterring perpetrators from committing crimes against women and children harsh enough, in your view?
You know, that's the wrong question. I think we can give up to life imprisonment in terms of cases of child rape and some rape, women as murder. The point is not, you can make those sentences as harsh as you like. You can castrate and you can hang people if you like. But that is not a deterrent. What we have to combat much more effectively is the low arrest rate and the low conviction rate. Because if you only have a 7 in 100 chance of going to of being convicted for rape, that's scarcely deterrent when you've got a 92% chance of getting off. So I think we should stop focusing on trying to make castration, introduce castration or whatever it may be, and look at trying, if you think about rape, how do you improve the police's capacity to investigate stranger rape? Because that's the, one sees far fewer arrests being made in stranger rape cases than you're seeing in cases where the victims and perpetrator are known to each other. That's because the police have to actually go out and investigate and find somebody. Whereas, you know, if you've got a name, you can just go and arrest. So I think that's really where we should be putting our attention, strengthening police capacity to investigate stranger rape cases, strengthening and discuss that question of budget. Courts' ability to be able to process those cases, putting on trial speedily, and preparing and giving the proper support to complainants when they testify, they're prepared for difficult cross-examination.
Lisa Vetten, thank you so much for speaking to us this afternoon. Always good to have your insight into these stories, and certainly gives us a very good idea of exactly what we should be expecting the President to speak about this evening.